Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, featuring leaders in the Arizona business community working to build a lasting impact throughout our state through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, the Vice President of Business Development at Local First Arizona. We are a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses. We are the largest local business coalition in North America, providing resources to over 3,000 small businesses and raising awareness of the benefits of building a strong local economy. I am incredibly stoked and excited today to welcome to the show a longtime partner and member of Local First Arizona, Mr. Randy Phillips, the president of Think Graphic and Printing Solutions. If you have seen a flyer or business card from Local First over the past 10 to 15 years, I'd say more than likely that came from Think. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's get a rundown of the business. Tell us about Think. How'd you get started? When'd you get started? How long have you been in business?
Well, let's say that first off, before I started Think, I had a music and entertainment magazine. I had a real passion for local musicians and local artists. And it was a free-based magazine published throughout the Valley. And I'll tell you what, it's hard. It's hard to have a free magazine that is advertisement supported.
Gotcha.
And when I started it, it was during the, as the recession was starting to kind of really take root.
Yeah.
And it was really just really hard. It was hard to go up to business owners and ask for advertising dollars.
And that was around the time that a lot of newspapers, magazines were going out of business, not only because of the online boom, but the Great Recession. So I could only imagine how difficult that was.
Oh, yeah. It was really hard. And I remember it was actually kind of around, it was around when Local First was Arizona Chain Reaction.
Okay.
It wasn't quite Local First just yet. I remember talking to Kimber. I remember actually going over there and talking to her about local bands over at Stinkweeds and trying to see if we can get some artists into the magazine.
Cool.
What I found was I was going to downtown Phoenix and Tempe, and I was looking at small businesses really just trying to succeed in these really like tough environments. Downtown Phoenix was brutal during that time.
Yeah.
So I told myself, I'm like, you know, I'm gonna knock on every single door. I'm gonna see if the only way it's gonna work is if these guys survive down in these areas. So I was really pushing this magazine. Well, the magazine, it was challenging during the recession time. Advertising dollars were starting to dry up.
Yeah.
I just remember one night it was a magazine deadline. And publish, when you're dealing with printers, you have to hit it at a certain time. Mm-hmm. It's got to go to the presses, and then it has to hit the streets at a certain time.
Yeah.
And it was a late night. We were working really hard. Everything wasn't cloud-based at the time, so we had everything on the computer. We had the whole magazine put together, and then the magazine, the hard drive failed on us.
Oh, no.
It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. We're like, oh, man.
No.
And at that time, I was already like, in my head, I'm like, oh, Am I going to be able to keep going with this?
Mm-hmm.
Really just hitting the streets, doing this magazine. And it was like 1-2 o'clock in the morning and my team's like defeated because the hard drive just failed on them.
Yeah.
We're like, well, we got to do this. We got to get it over to the printer by 9 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of hustled, made it work, put it together, got it to the printer. It was right before Christmas too. And I remember I was like, okay, once I get this off, I need to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take a break.
Yeah.
I flew out to Utah to visit my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, I was like, you know what? I've got to make some decisions.
Yeah.
I got to make some decisions. Am I going to keep this magazine? I've got this passion to help all these businesses really work in Phoenix. And I don't know what to do. And I as a person that doesn't want to fail.
Yeah.
It was so much internally, there was so much conflict of like, oh man, what do I do?
Yeah.
And I remember walking over to my stepdad in Utah and he was just like, hey, what's going on? What's the sad face for?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, you know, I haven't been through this before. Advertising dollars is really hard. We're really bust trying to knock down doors and we're doing this and the hard drive failed, all these different things.
Yeah.
I think this might be it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to get a job.
Today's the day.
I think I'm going to have to get a job. And my stepdad looks at me with this look, and I'm waiting for this profound wisdom. And he's like, Randy, puts his hand on my shoulder. And he's like, you're going to be okay. And I'm like, well, tell me something. I need to know some.
Yeah.
How am I going to get through this?
He's how like, do I get a job?
Yeah. How am I going to do this? And he's like, he looks at me and he's like, you know what? Ever since you're a little kid, you've had it in you. It's not like, hey, you want to be an entrepreneur someday. You just had it in you.
Yeah.
We lived on an Air Force base. And when it was inspection time, it was every Tuesday. If people's yards weren't a certain spec, they would get written up. And you were like, I need money for comic books. So Monday, you'd walk around the neighborhood, look for people that wouldn't pass inspection and knock on their doors and say, hey, I'll do this for you. What will you pay me? It got to the point where I got the whole neighborhood, all the kids in the neighborhood doing landscape work. He's like, and this story repeats itself through every different season of your life. And he's like, I don't know. I think you're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's different. It's recession.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's like, no, I'm not here alone. There's all these other people. And he's like, you'll figure it out. And my sister walks in. She's with her friend. They're in high school at the time. And the kid's talking about, hey, you know, this on Friday, I'm going to skip school. And I'm like, oh, I'll look at my sister. I'm like, you don't want to hang out with this guy. This is bad news. He's like, I'm going to go snowboarding. He's like, hey, Randy, you want to go snowboarding with me? I'm like, I've never done that. I don't know. Maybe ask your dad if it's okay if I can go along. And I was like, okay, it's a little weird that I'm going to go snowboarding with these people that I just met. Is that okay? My sister's like, yeah, you should go. You should definitely learn how to snowboard. I'm like, okay, you know what? I need to get out of this. This is going to get me out of that funk. I mean, it's going to completely separate my head from all this sadness and this gloom and stuff. I get a phone call and it says, the kid's dad. The dad's like, hey, yeah, I'd love to have a buddy up here that we can learn how to snowboard, or that I can teach you how to snowboard. It's going to be great. It's going to be an awesome time. Just come over at 5 o'clock in the morning. This is Utah. It's cold.
Yeah.
5 o'clock in the morning is freezing. And we're from Phoenix. So like,
yeah,
cooking hot dogs during this time of year outside on the grill. And they're having like 10 layers of clothing.
Yeah.
So I go over there. I don't have a whole lot of cold clothes. And he's like, what do you got? And I was like, what you see is what you get. This is what I got. And he goes into his closet. He gets some things. And I don't know. Have you done any snow sports or snow?
I've seen snow. Well, before I was, I don't know, maybe 22, I'd seen snow like three times. Total Arizona Valley kid here. When I was in New York, I saw a lot of snow in the city. But I've never snowboarded, never skied. Just not my thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have definitely not done any snow sports prior to that. I've seen it on TV. I thought everybody that snowboarded looked really cool. I wanted to be cool.
Sean White.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, how long is it going to take for me to do those cool tricks, right?
Right.
So I go over to their house, and he pulls out some stuff, and he pulls out this, these snow pants and snow jacket and big boots. Fast forward till now, I realize that none of this stuff is like snowboard apparel. It's like it's like dad wear that you like shovel snow out of your driveway with, like heavy boots, thick jacket, heavy pants that is water repellent. So I put it on, but I don't know any better. And it's crazy, like what you don't know, you just don't know, and you think that it's okay. So I'm like, okay. So I got all this stuff on. And he's like, okay, now it's time for the snowboard. He opens up the closet, pulls out the snowboard, and it's like, it's not a snowboard, first off. It's like a board with like two hoops where your feet just kind of kick inside of. I did not know what a regular snowboard looks like. I did not know how your foot goes in it. I didn't know if there was a cheaper, more expensive one. Didn't know. He's like, yeah, it's easy. You just put your feet into it. Does your feet fit in there? Yes. Good. Let's go. So we pile into the minivan, go up this mountain, and go to like this kind of remote spot. It's not a snow resort, and we're up on this mountain. There's other kids, people playing, wee, having a good time.
Yeah.
Everybody's just like, it was like, you look out, it's like, it's beautiful. There's trees and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn how to snowboard. I go out there, I go to the top of the mountain, and trust me, it all comes to a culmination here.
I'm guessing you're taking us on a journey, but I'm guessing it's going to come back around.
It is a journey. It is a journey. And I think it's funny because I feel like everything in life really is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm on this hill, and I'm watching all these kids have a good time. It's not a groomed mountain. It's got, like, rocks and patches of stuff and trees and whatnot. And I'm on the top here, and the dad's like, okay, are you ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. He's like, okay, what you do is you point the board down, and then you go. And I'm like, oh, that's simple. Like, I thought it was something more complex than that. I get up there, I go down, and I fall. Get up, fall. Get up, fall. Get up, fall. Heavy stuff. If you've ever gone snowboarding before, even if you know what you're doing, first day you're going to be hurting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so stubborn. Like, in my head, I'm like, I got to do it. I can't feel. I got to keep doing it. I keep doing it. I keep falling, and it hurt so bad. Mm. And then there was no chairlift. So you go hike up the mountain in the snow, and it's just miserable. I'm sweating. It's hot. It's gross. Like,
people do this for fun?
Like, what are these kids on right now? Help me out here. So I do this, and I proceed to do this for about 6 or 7 hours. And then the sun's, like, going down. Mind you, we start at 6 a.m., and the sun's going down. It's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm at the top. I'm feeling defeated. I'm looking, and I'm like, I keep falling. I'm hurting. My body's beat up. And I keep falling. I don't want to fall. I hate it. The dad comes up, and he's like, puts his hand on my shoulder, and he's like, Randy, can I give you some advice? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, where have you been at all day?
Have you seen me?
I know. Yeah. He saw me. I'm pretty sure he was laughing along with all those other kids. But he's like, Randy, I'm watching you. And I think what you're doing right now is you're looking at your feet. And every time you look at your feet, your body will go in the direction where your head is facing and where your vision is looking. So you're looking down, and I want you to take a look at the trees ahead of you. And I want you to pick a tree. And no matter what you do, Randy, you're going to want to look down. You're going to look at these rocks. You're going to look at these things around you. I want you to pick one tree, and with everything you've got, fight to keep your eyes focused on that tree. So I was like, hey, you know what? I've tried everything else. Why not? Right. So I go, I get up, I kick my feet into those little hoops. I look down, I pick a tree, and I start focusing, and I go down, and my head wants to go down because I see some rocks there, and my head goes down because I see some patches. I see kids and stuff, but I'm just focusing on this tree, and I'm getting closer and closer to this tree, and I get all the way to the tree, and then I hit the ground. And then I sit in the snow, and I looked up in the clouds and in the sky, and I just remember thinking, I'm like, this is it. This is the lesson that I needed to learn. Too often do you look at what is in front of you and deal with the problems in front of you that it feels like it's over. There's nothing more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to pick your head up and find your tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I gotta apply this. I gotta go back, and I've gotta apply this because my story is not over yet. So I flew back to Phoenix, and I look at the magazine, I look at all these customers, and I'm like, why am I doing this stuff? And I'm like, I have a passion to help businesses grow.
Yeah.
I'm doing this design stuff, I'm doing these ads, I'm doing these flyers and print materials and stuff. How about if I just go to those customers and just say, hey, I have a real passion to help you grow. I know I can do it affordably for you. I can get you some print materials at a great price. I can help you design this stuff.
Yeah.
I want to see you grow in this downtown Phoenix environment and in the harsh small business environment. I don't have a magazine anymore because it just doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah.
But if you trust me, I would like to work with you.
Yeah.
And I had about 200 clients at the time with the magazine. And of those clients, I had about maybe 5 or 6 that didn't want to work with me.
Wow.
But after that, I remember thinking, I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work 35 hours a week, and I'm going to go snowboarding every weekend. I'm going to disconnect from the world. I'm going to pick my tree, and I'm going to keep on going, and I'm going to help a lot of people out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I started Think.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And well, I mean, from so many perspectives, obviously the life lesson learned, the reflection, especially after such a hard time, like, I mean, all of that. But also from a business perspective, man, like you saw opportunity where you didn't, you know, before, after going through the lesson learned, right? And, you know, what was the opportunity in front of you? You had 200 businesses that would, or 195 that would have still worked with you. So all you did was figure out a new way to do that. And that's awesome. I've always respected your business mindset, always focused on helping people first and then providing the service behind that. It's been huge in getting to know you. Wanted to ask you a little bit about, okay, so you go through this, you start Think, you start helping all these businesses. You were old school Fifth Street and Roosevelt business before things kind of started changing over the years. What was it like? You've always been a huge partner, supporter, friend of Local First as we've been doing our work over the last 20 years. Why has that been important to you as well? Not just, you know, supporting small businesses, but being a part of Local First and the work we've been doing.
One of Think's, well, first off, one of my core values is community. Mm. I understand that even when you go on a trip, the first thing you do is you're like, hey, where do all the locals eat out at?
Yeah.
You don't say, hey, I want to go to Outback. Nobody says that.
Right.
Well, some people do. Maybe I don't. We don't hang out with those people. I know that I love the community. I love helping. I like volunteering. I love seeing these small businesses grow. And I love it so much that, like, in order for me to say that I like something or have a passion towards something, I have to align the things that I'm interested in with that too. Mm-hmm. We also made community a team value with Think. And we partnered up with Local First Arizona because Local First Arizona does something that I just have never seen before. Mm. Like I remember when COVID was starting to become a big thing in the news, and schools were starting to shut down, and businesses were starting to shut down, and schools were not. People were like on the longest spring break ever.
Right.
And, you know, all these big programs and charity events were starting to shut down. And I remember seeing like all of our big clients were starting to shut down too.
Yeah.
And I remember actually reaching out to you, Thomas, and to Kimber too. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to get through this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to do this. And I remember you saying, Randy, you're going to be okay. It's like my stepdad. You're going to be okay. He's like, you know, we're talking to people. We're talking to people in the state. We're talking to people in the local area. We'll let you know what we're going to come up with.
Yeah.
And through the Facebook group, email channels, newsletter, you're doing such a great job of like really connecting the business owners with help.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like financial help, in which you guys did also, which I applaud you guys. Like, I don't know. I mean, you already do like a million things already. The fact that you guys were doing those grant programs and those other things too is just remarkable. I mean, truly remarkable. Like when you guys had to step up, you stepped up. And I am so proud of you guys. Like, I've got goosebumps right now just thinking of like, man, like my heart is swelling so much about Local First. And that's why I work with Local First. And that's why I tell, like, even my clients that I talk to now, I'm like, are you a member of Local First? Like, if you're not, then you don't understand, like, this. Like, I know you understand the struggles of small business, but you need to be with an organization that promotes you.
Yeah.
And that what you do, you create a local flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Well, that's why we do this, man. And, this was not a PSA for Local First, but I was honestly
shameless plug.
Genuinely just interested to know. But thank you so much. I mean, this is why we do it, right? To see your business adapt and thrive and get through challenging times. Speaking of challenging times, though, I want to talk about COVID in a minute because I think you guys did a remarkable job in, you know, the year of the pivot, quote unquote. But let's take a step back 4 or 5 years. mentioned you had Phoenix office, Tempe office, doing a lot of work throughout the community. And 2016, I think it was, your building in downtown Phoenix catches fire. And all of a sudden, you've got to deal with that. What was that experience like?
Oh, man, that was a morning. Let me tell you what. I remember rolling out.
It was at like 3:30 or 4 in the morning, yeah. I remember, because I was I remember going downtown, seeing smoke. And I usually am early riser, so 6:37, and it had been cooking for a little bit.
So. Yeah, you know, I remember rolling out of bed. It must have happened about like 4:30 in the morning or so.
Okay.
At the time, I was living in Chandler.
Okay.
And the office was in downtown Phoenix, 5th Street and Roosevelt. And that office, we did, we did flyers and banners and shirt printing. And I just remember I woke up. And I was like, kind of like rubbing my eyes, trying to figure out like what's going on in the day. And I open up my email and I see a tweet from Fox News saying the Phoenix building office is on fire. And I remember thinking, I'm like, oh man, my web guy is messing with me for sure. And then I got a phone call from the web guy. He's like, are you watching the news right now? And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, nobody prepares you for these things, right? Nobody says, hey, in the event of a fire, these are the steps that you need to do to manage your staff and this whole thing going on around you and your customers. And don't even worry about, the hundreds of jobs that customers were depending on that day that they can't pick up because it's now ashes. So I remember just freaking out, getting in my car, and I'm like, well, the first thing is I just have to go there. And the drive from Chandler to downtown Phoenix was like 50 minutes. I get there, and it was just like crumbles.
Yeah.
And I walked the place, and the fire marshal was like, you know what? This is where it originated. I think it might be, an electrical fire. Like, I don't know about that. I was like, there's nothing that's kind of on or plugged in. Or he's like, old building might be an electric fire. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to buy into that. And I just remember just falling to my feet and just saying, oh, man, how am I going to get through this? Well, thankfully, the community in that Fifth Street area is super, super strong.
Yeah.
It's that arts community. I mean, it's different now. Like it's definitely more evolved and much more hip. But I just remember talking to the people around, and the people in the Flowers building right next door was they're like, hey, we have a camera that's just kind of aimed down this alleyway. And we looked at some footage and we saw that it was there was somebody that caught it on fire.
Wow.
And we gave that to the fire marshal and that didn't help us as a business, though.
Sure.
As a business, we were just like, okay.
Everything's gone already. So, you've got to adapt anyway.
What do you do now? Big, catastrophe. The building's down. We have a staff of like 6 or 7 people that work in that building. We've got a bunch of customer stuff. What do you do? We took a step back and we're like, first off, we freaked out for a good couple of days.
Yeah.
We definitely did that. I think anybody would. And then we shoved everybody into our Tempe office, and people were like literally on top of each other. It was crazy. And we took a step back and we're like, okay, you know what we're going to do? We are, let's use, like, through every challenge, there's an opportunity. Something I tell all my customers, like, I understand you have a problem here, but the problem is usually the solution.
Yeah.
And we took the opportunity to say, okay, well, the business is different. Time is different. How people deal with things are different. You might not need to have multiple locations.
Sure.
Maybe we kind of do things more shipping and couriering. And what we did is we laid out, we did a pros and cons list. Well, kind of a pros and cons list. We said, okay, what do all the other printers do? And what are they like?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time other printers are, a lot of places are dirty and disorganized. And they have like a counter that separates them from the customer. And there's like all these different things that a lot of screen print shops and print shops are like. Sometimes the employees of these places are fairly undesirable. Some places they have drug issues and stuff like that. And we're like, okay, this is what is common in this space. And then we put another line and said, okay, we are going to be exactly opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a white, like really open space where we're going to be very collaborative. We want to make it so we understand that the online world is really expanding super fast.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out how does print and marketing look like in this space?
Yeah.
And it's more collaborative. It's not like you do have the FedEx office model where you can go up to a counter and order those things. Or you come over to Think where you have a big counter.
Yeah.
You put your stuff out there, say, hey, this is the stuff that I need. I've got like maybe I have an online company.
You did such a great job of that. I remember when you guys opened up. I mean, it's so welcoming. Like, and, you know, if you're just, you know, a business owner or a person and, you know, all you've ever been in is Kinko's. It's like, well, I guess this is the printing world when it's not. Like, you created an environment where, you know, you guys had like a video game, like I think it was Pac-Man or something.
Yeah.
And it was just cool, right? It was like I feel like I belong here. I feel like I can talk to somebody. And even if I don't know what I want or what my, like, here's my vision. Like, what can you guys help me with? And you totally created that vibe.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, what we really wanted, we're like, okay, yeah, people may find us because they need a business card, or they may find us because they need a t-shirt printed or screen printed or a banner or whatever the case may be. But there's something else that they're really in for. Like, if they had somebody that could do that, they wouldn't have found us.
Yeah.
Right? That means they don't have somebody to do all these other things that they may not know that they need or be aware that's out there.
Sure.
So we were like, you know what? We need a space where people feel safe, that they can collaborate with somebody and just be inspired.
Yeah.
Inspired through creativity, and that our job is to educate them. Because in the small business world, like, man, we're just running around like sharks trying to find food sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, speaking of things changing and challenging times and that kind of stuff, I don't want to end today's episode without talking about what an incredible job you and your team did at Think through COVID. And I would love to hear from you just some of those adaptations that you made and changes that you took on when you realized and you woke up on, maybe it was March 17th, when there was no St. Patrick's Day happening, right? And nobody was going out. And we looked at spring festivals and fall festivals and said, oh, crap. Like,
no more.
For someone that's printing banners and flyers and t-shirts and all these things that fuel those events that aren't happening anymore, at what point was your aha moment that you said, okay, maybe we could be doing this instead? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? That's true, really just, first off, it's a flashback. And like, I kind of
like sweating.
Yeah, I know. It's like the goosebumps are now just like shivers, right?
Yeah.
No, you know, it kind of like, it all circles back a little bit to that origin story of mm-hmm. where things started out.
Yeah.
Like I remember actually driving up to the office. It was at the middle of March and thinking, okay, well, you know, we may have to furlough some of our employees. It mm-hmm. was a very sad day.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I'm like, I got to shut off the TV. I got to shut off all yep. this news because it's making me feel like down. Like,
yeah.
I can't get over myself.
Yeah.
I felt really good. And then I get all the way up to the office and I'm sitting out front because I know I have to have this really hard conversation with my staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit there. I sat in my car and I thought, I was like, wait a minute. I've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
This is the find your tree moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is that moment where it's like I can look down and look at all the problems that are in front of me, or I can look at where I want to go.
Yeah.
So I had a really hard conversation with my team members, and I'm like, "Hey, you will be back.
Yeah,
you will be. I don't know what that looks like. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be authentic. I don't know what it's going to look like when you get back, but I know a couple things. I know that while half of the world may be shut down, there's another half of the world that is really excelling right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is our choice of, do we look at the clients that says that are not able to do something, or do we look at the people that are going to be able to do something?
Yeah.
We chose to look at the people that are doing something. And then we also chose to say, okay, well, while we're shut down, like the doors were closed. In fact, actually right now they're still closed.
Mm.
We are appointment based.
Okay.
Where we have a conference room, a couple conference rooms that we have a one-on-one experience with our customers, which we started kind of midway through COVID, and okay. customers really, really like it. It's a really intimate, really one-on-one experience cool. Where they can go through their stuff, but that it's very like dedicated. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So we talked to our team and we're like, you know, we have to get good at not being open.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? So we looked at what some of the stuff that we did. We did a lot of web services. We had we're very tech savvy. Mm-hmm. So we were doing a lot of print on demand, direct to garment type of printing.
Yeah.
We already had a lot of fulfillment setups for packing and shipping customer stuff.
Yeah.
And so one of the big things that we looked at, we're like, hey, we've been saying we wanted to really push these campaigns and these stores because we know that for small businesses, retail, restaurants, gyms, all these different industries, oftentimes they want to sell t-shirts and hats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes you have to buy a lot in order to get a lower price point. Mm-hmm. And for small businesses, if you have to buy a lot, that means it's a lot of money out of your pocket. Maybe it will sell, maybe it won't sell.
Right.
And then if you buy a bunch of different designs, where are you going to store all that stuff at? And then nobody ever thinks about this. They put this online store up and they try to do it themselves. And then they realize now they're the pack and shipping person. They got to grab it, put it in a bag, put it in the post office, drive it to the place, deal with all these other stuff. And we're like, you know what? All of these places are closed right now. Mm-hmm. Let's double down on these campaigns in these retail stores.
Cool.
And we can print on demand and we'll make it so that we'll put up on these digital stores and all they have to do is promote it or link it off their site.
Cool.
And they can make money on every single shirt that's sold. And we stopped and we're like, well, we got to make this like super easy for everybody to do.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we anybody that does one of those stores or campaign stores, we don't charge for design. A lot of people have their design already, but some people just don't have their design.
Yep.
So we will design their product. We'll put the store up. We do all the hosting. We'll set it up. We'll put the shirt designs together. And then all they have to do is to promote it.
Cool.
And then once an order comes through, we pick it, we pack it, we print it, we ship it. And it goes right to the customer.
Cool. That's awesome.
So super easy for them.
That's awesome. Love seeing that. Love seeing the mask with printing a branding and stuff that you guys did. All the restaurants and all of these places needed, to-go signs and that kind of stuff, yep. Curbside pickup signs. That was huge. So kudos to you for figuring it out, man. And just really, really happy to see you still here. And the story you tell of turning off the news. I remember, maybe it was even you, but I remember telling several business owners, like, let us watch the news. If you focus on all these things that are out of your control, you're going to go out of business. Like, you have to focus only on the things that are within your control. And what's in your control? The products that you're going to be offering right now, mm-hmm. how you treat your staff, how you treat your customers. And people are going to remember that. Long, long term. And I think you guys did that really, really well. So congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for your years of support for small businesses, for partnering with Local First and all you do for the community. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we hope everyone listening today was inspired listening to a leader working to leave a legacy here in Arizona through doing good business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Phoenix Business Radio X, for hosting us and all of our legacy partners, including Think Graphic and Printing Solutions. This is Thomas Barr from Local First Arizona, reminding you that if we want to build a better state, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.